last time we just started the topic of Lulav HaYavish, the issue that we're discussing first is the primary question, what is the Sodah Psul of Lulav HaYavish? What we looked into last time was probably the prevalent view in Rishonim, based on the explicit Gemara, both on Chav Tes Amud Beis and on Amud Aleph
Amud Beis,
that the basis for Psul Lulav HaYavish is that it's not Hadar. The Pasuk says, "Priates Hadar," it posits that an Esrog needs to be, you understand the word Hadar here to mean beautiful, it has to be beautiful, it has to be glorious looking, and therefore Esrog HaYavish on the basis of that is possible, because it isn't Hadar. And the Rabbanan, who we pass him like, and so the Mishnah is reflecting, Lulav HaYavish is possible, so we are Makishim, Lulav Esrog, the Hekesh, Lulav Esrog means that Lulav too requires Hadar, and therefore that's the reason why Lulav HaYavish is possible. So this is the view of many Rishonim, based on, again, both the Gemara here and on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, explicit really there in the Gemara Lamed Beis. Here the Gemara just says Hadar, which could be interpreted differently, we'll see the Rishonim do, but the Gemara explicitly says that it's based on a Hekesh, the Shittas Rabbanon, the Tana of our Mishnah is based on a Hekesh, Lulav Esrog, from which we derive that there's a requirement for Hadar regarding Lulav, and that's why Lulav Eyavish is possible. So just in terms of just understanding, though, this shita and whether or not it's obvious. So we discussed last time that it isn't at all obvious. In fact, it seems quite challenging upon a certain view. And I just want to clarify here and revise a little bit. And that is the view of the Ramban, which many Rishonim adopt following Ramban, that when we say that the word hadar, it etymologically refers to beauty. But the Ramban argues it actually is the Hebrew proper noun for, it's a shame etzim, it's a Hebrew proper noun for what Chazal called an esrog. Esrog is just the Aramaic term for the pri that we all know, that we know from the Torah, that the Torah describes, calls rather, that the Torah calls, because that's its name in Hebrew, Hadar. So this is what the Ramban says ala Torah. He says, after all, this is what esrog actually means. It means mirgog, it means beautiful. So the Ramban says that in his Perushal Torah. Then he adds another point. That's one point, that it's a shame etzim. It's actually the proper Hebrew proper name for what in Aramaic is called an esrog. The Ramban then adds in Hilchos Lulav that it also has a legal. It also implies a legal requirement. It's also a shame toar. It is an adjective too. It's not just that etymologically it means beautiful, it actually, legally speaking, requires beautiful, but that Shem Torah is part of, what that's doing is it's just part of, in fact, the class of, it's an identifying feature of the class of fruit, which is, the Torah is requiring for mitzvahs dalad minin. In other words, the Torah is saying it needs to be a hadar. What that means is it actually is referring to a specific species, and not just a species, but a specific class within that species of what we call an esrog, but it has to be a live esrog, a beautiful esrog. If it's not hadar, so it's not a member of the species that the Torah is requiring for dalad minim. In other words, it's not enough to be botanically related to to what's colloquially known as an esrog. In order for it to be legally belong to the species of esrog, it has to be that there's an additional feature. It has to be muhudar. It has to have beauty. That's not a din. Again, that's not a din in an additional condition under which for the mitzvah lulav. So you need to take an esrog. That's the min. And then there's a condition. It has to also be beautiful. No, it's that the beautiful esrog is a class, subspecies, if you will, of esrog, and that's what the Torah is identifying as what you need to take. So there's really one halacha. You need to take a hadar. And what a hadar is a specific, it's specifically a beautiful, botanically an esrog, and it's beautiful. Okay, does everybody follow that? So the Ramban says both of these things. And the Ramban himself, just to clarify, says that this is analogous to what the Ravid says about avos. It's a little bit easier to understand when it comes to avos. He says that the Ravid, that is, says that avos, the sugya, the Gemara Mishnah says that a hados requires avos, a hados shote, hados which is lacking avos, which is lacking the full coverage from the from its leaves in one way or another. Such a hadas, says the Ravid, it's not that it's a just a psul, it's a defect in a hadas. It's not in a hadas. It's not actually the species now that the Torah is identifying. It's a different plant, in a sense. Halachically, legally speaking, that's a different plant. Torah requires a hadas and anaf eitz avos, and this is not that plant. The Ravid says this in the beginning, the Hilchos Lulav Ravid. He says, "Aval avos v'she'eno avos min achrinahu." Now, why is it that they even get into this distinction of it's a puzzle version of what the Torah is requiring versus it's not at all the that thing which the Torah is requiring? So the Rabban and the Ravid, well, I'm going to start with the Ravid. The Ravid is saying this in the context of explaining why l'shitaso the din of hadar. Some dinim are limited to mitzvahs gvulin yom rishon, and some are actually required. This is all in the Mikdash midiraisa for kol zayin, right? And the basic idea that the Ravid suggests is that you don't need the conditions. The dinei hamitzvah are not necessarily equivalent. We can't assume that just because something the Torah requires regarding your mitzvahs and netilas dalad minim, so that's bigvulin. So that's true of the mitzvahs usmachtem. In Mikdash for Shivas Yamin. But what the one thing that is true to both, is common to both, is that it must require, it involves the Dalad meaning. Right? Mitzvahs Lukatim Lechem Lechud, and Mitzvahs Usmachtim Lechud. But both of them are Bedalad meaning, and therefore anything which defines the Dalad meaning as the proper species, anything which is a part of what, just identifying what is the min that the Torah is identifying here, requiring and commanding you to take, that is going to be something which is common to both mitzvahs lekicha b'yom rishon and mitzvahs smachim lechem in mikdash kol shavas yamin, and that's where the Ravid says. And therefore, even though hadar l'shitas Ravid is a din which is unique to yom rishon, avos, even though it's also in the same pasuk l'chachem b'yom rishon priyetz hadar v'anaf eitz avos, right, kavas marim v'anaf eitz avos, that avos is required b'chol kolzman because it's simply part of identifying what is the min that the Torah says, that the Torah is taking out here. So the Ramban says, and I should add, that Rishonim actually invoke this idea in another context too, and I'm mentioning it now because I'll come back to it in a minute. They say that actually, this is another place where this comes up, the idea that it's not simply a puzzle for the mitzvah, but it's actually not the min which the Torah is specifying. It comes up also in the context of the sugya, and these are both sugyas, both the sugya of Chilek Yom Rishon v'Shar Yomim and the sugya that I'm about to mention now. We're both going to get to in detail when we get to those sugyas later on. But in the sugya of Bat Hosif, so a lot of men are trying to take the view that Hosafa b'minim atzmam, the Oso Hamin, if you take a numerous, if you just add to the number of that which the Torah commands you to take, so there's no problem about Hosif there, for one reason or another. But if you add, if you introduce into the eged, or maybe even if you just hold on to it, another min, which is not one of the dalad minim, then that's a problem about Tosif. So the, and some Rishonim say, and when it comes to Hadashota, you ought not, you better not, take a Hadashota among your Hadassim, your Adadassim, because that actually isn't a minachrina. That's Bal Tosif, because it is a minacher. Right? So these are, so again, if it were just the defective Hadas, so then fine. So it's not part of the required number, and therefore, as long as it's just one of the additional ones, so you have no problem. But if it's a separate min, then it actually becomes a problem of Bal Tosif. So the Ritva, for instance, says this is going to be a problem, excuse me, at least initially it says this, that's going to be a problem of Bal Tosif. Now the Ramban is saying, so this idea is what I mean here in the context of Esrog. This is the Ramban explaining why the Shitaso, and again, the issue of Chiluk Yamim, Yom Rishon and Shivas Yamim we'll get to, but he's saying Lashitas is why Hadar is actually required for all seven, because it's the same idea. It's part of what just identifying towards identifying the min. It happens to be it's a proper name. It also is imposing it. It has to be that it's Mahudar, but that isn't just the din in terms of to be yotzei the mitzvah. It has to be Nesar Gush Mahudar. That's part of the class. It's the identifying characteristic of the class of fruit which the Torah is beginning to choose. And again, and this, I think it was bothering you, Aaron, this is no question a bigger chiddush than the Ravid. The Ravid's a chiddush. In fact, we'll see when we get there, the Rush says, what do you mean it's a different min hadashota? It grows on the same bush. But even if you can, you know, it's one thing to say that, it's another thing to say that an Esrog Hayavish, which really did belong at one point to the to that class, if you will, of esrogim, which were, you know, mahudar, now all of a sudden becomes when it dries up, it becomes a different min. So it's hard to imagine that's the case, but it's not impossible. And the Ramban says it. And I gave you an example of, you know, a person who becomes a corpse. A corpse is no longer a person, even though genetically speaking, it's there's nothing, there's no difference. I mentioned to you afterwards, maybe another way to think, another example might be a grape and a raisin. I'd say that a raisin lavish may grape. So that's the Torah saying we require, you require a grape. That if you take a raisin, it's just not a grape. Okay, so the Ramban is saying that. Now, if you take this view, then we pointed out that now it becomes very challenging, very, very challenging, very difficult to understand what how you could have a hekesh hadar from esrog to lulav. And here I want to explain more clearly that on the first, if you just take the premise that it's simply a part of the shemetzem, that it's simply the Hebrew term for esrog, so then it's just impossible. It doesn't make any sense. It's not even in the realm of possibility. It's just, there's nothing to be makish. The Torah is simply saying you need a lulav and you need an esrog. So what's a hekesh is when you have a din with regard to one thing that the Torah specifies, apply it to the context next to it. Here you have just simply two things that the Torah is requiring you to take, a hadas, a lulav, and an esrog. So it doesn't make any sense. There's nothing to be makish. It's just referring to the esrog. So that's, first of all, as far as the proper name is concerned, it doesn't make any sense to say that there's a hekesh there. You're not, you need to be comparing something with respect to something the Torah says about that thing to the other context, and here we don't have that. We just have the two contexts the Torah specifying. Even if you assume that it's a shem toar, like the Ramban, but the shem toar, this is the Ramban, what he adds in Hilfos, in his response to the Ravid, in his Hafsagos on the Kuntres of the Ravid, even if you assume that it is also an attribute, but if it's a necessary attribute, so I think it's not possible, but it doesn't seem at all to make any sense to assume that that would be something which could be subject to a hekesh, because you're just defining the species that we're talking about. We're talking about what is the thing that the Torah wants, so it's called a hadar. It has to be that it lives up to its name, if you will, right, in order to be considered part of the species of the Torah, in order to be a member of the class the Torah is commanding you to take, because one of the Dalmim has to be that it's kishmo kenu. But how could that... So it's something, look, or unique to that species. In theory, you might say, well, maybe the Torah is introducing a fundamental, a necessary attribute for all of those species, that all of them refer to the classes which are hadar. That seems to be quite a stretch. Moreover, again, it's pretty clear that the idea for the Ramban is related to the fact that it's the species called hadar. Namely, it happens to be the most beautiful of fruits. That's what the Ibn Ezra explains is the term hadar. Priyat hadar refers to it's the most beautiful fruit. The Ramban says there, going with that, says it happens to be the name of the fruit because of its because it's the most beautiful species of fruit. But also, we're talking about a legal class which actually requires of each member, in order to be a member, that it be mahudar. That all makes sense within the context of the species of hadar, of esrog. It hardly makes sense to say that about everything else. Okay? So the question becomes, just how do we understand the hekesh? And we pointed out last time, the Miri, in fact, cites its exact point. He adopts the Ramban regarding what hadar means, and he explains, and therefore it really doesn't make any sense, and he rejects the hekesh lulav esrog, and he claims that the Gemara was, in the end, just a suggestion, but it was rejected lemaskana. This explanation of the psul yavish, because really there is no hekesh lulav esrog. Esrog is b'shema, hadar is b'shema the esrog. It's just part of the proper name, and it may be a necessary attribute of what it means to be an esrog. It's not something which would be then subject to extension to other meaning. And what is... I had mentioned that one can understand maybe the Ritva is offering interpretation of the Ramban. The truth is it's not, and this Adam helped me realize afterwards. The Ritva cites the Ramban, but he only cites the first claim of the Ramban. He only cites the claim, as far as the Shem Torah is concerned, he only cites the claim that it's actually the Hebrew name for Esrog. The Ritva himself says it's also Shem Torah, but nowhere does the Ritva say that Shem Torah is a necessary attribute identifying Esrog. It sounds like that Shem Torah, legally speaking, for the Ritva, is simply a requirement regarding the condition of the min In order to be yotzei the mitzvah, it has to be that the particular member of the species is also beautiful. So it's just the quality of that of the esrog that you take, but it isn't the defining characteristic. Is what you have in esrog. It's not an identifying characteristic of the species that the Torah is commanding. And given that that's the case, so then it clearly makes, and this is what I think the Ritva was sort of implicitly explaining, then that's what you would then be makish, meaning the Torah, it's both a shem toar, the proper name for esrog, but somehow we also know that it's there to impose a requirement. It's not enough that you are indeed, for the Ritva, a member of the species of hadar, whether or not you're beautiful. It also, the Torah says, you also need to be beautiful. And that, as far as that's concerned, this is where the Rabbanim are coming to be makish. But that isn't really an explanation of the Ramban, because it doesn't, because the Ramban seems to be saying, like the Ravid with regard to Avos, that this is just part of the definition, identifying characteristic of the class which the Torahs are commanding. It's not just an attribute. In order to be of the mitzvah, it has to be that particular member that you use, member of the species of Esrog that you use, has to be beautiful. No, it's actually not a member of the species that Torah is identifying, or not a member of the class that Torah is identifying. So that leaves us again with the Ramban. Here, this is an addition. I would suggest something along these lines, that maybe the Ramban will understand that the Hekesh actually. How does he understand it? Maybe the Ramban will say that the Hekesh, what it allows us to do, or maybe requires us to do, is actually apply a din beyond the context in which to the second context, even though the logic of the din that dictates it, the halacha within the first context, within the initial context, does not at all make any sense, has no parallel in the second context. In other words, even though an esrog hadar, the requirement for an esrog to be hadar is simply, given the Ramban's understanding of it, it flows from just that context, this unique characteristics of the context, namely esrog is hadar, and has to be by definition hadar, even though it doesn't make any sense, none of this is true with regard to lulav, but the Torah nonetheless is makish, and that hekesh actually overcomes sort of the natural incompatibility, the fact that it really doesn't make any sense locally to say that this anything here should be said of lulav. Nonetheless, hekesh requires us. If you want, you can, I think, find maybe examples of this. I'll just mention two. I didn't get a chance to look into it more in depth, but I'll just, off the top of my head, thought of two quick examples of a hekesh where this happens, potentially. Both with respect to the hekesh of Kimitzis Bailin and Kachmitzis Ashor. The Torah says about Ashor Niskal that Ashor Niskal is to be killed. So we darshan based on the hekesh of Kimitzis Bailin, Gam Be'alav, you must, Kimitzis Bailin, Kachmitzis Ashor. So in a number of cases, it seems like we say, with respect to a halacha that applies in the context of Dini Nefashos, Dini Adam, it only makes sense in the context of Dini Adam. It doesn't make any sense in the context of Shor. Nonetheless, there's at least an Amoro who thinks that we apply it in. So I'll just give you two examples. One is from the Sugya Mem Hei Adav and Bava Kama, where the question is the halacha of Ein Gormin Noshal Adam El Bafanav. So the Gemara presents a machlokas is whether or not we say, likewise, Ein Gormin Noshal Shor El Bafanav. So the Gemara explains the Deya, I think, of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov holds up, we do not say it. What about it happened to Kimitzis Bailin, Kachmitzis Ashor? So Rabbi Yaakov explains simply, what do you mean? Rabbi Yaakov, Bishlama Bailin B'nei Tainan Inhu El Ashor Bar Tanasu? What's the basis, what's the root, Yisod of the din that Ein Gormin Noshal Adam El Bafanav, according to Rabbi Yaakov? It's that he should be able to defend himself. He can't dictate somebody's fate without them having a chance to defend themselves. So that's something, that's the halacha of Ein Gormin Dino Shal Adam El Bafanav. Ein Gormin Dino Shal Adam El Bafanav. It doesn't apply at all, obviously, to Ashor. Now, what does the other sheet that there hold? Maybe he disagrees about the Yisod HaDin. Could be. I actually wrote an article once. I'm not plugging my own, tooting my own horn here, but I think that's quite possible. But it's also possible that he believes that even though it's, as Tosa say here, Tosa explain, for sure, Biako, he says, and if ain't svar l'dorsho, so then we don't, the hekesh doesn't apply. Maybe the other day disagrees with that. Maybe the other day thinks that it's true, the internal logic of the din does not at all make sense within the context of shor, but nonetheless, there you have it. The Torah says, puts one right to the other, we darshan, we understand based on this that we are to extend one din to the other context. The other place you have this and this is more explicit, in the Gemara itself, is Shita's Ravashi. Ravashi, regarding short trefa, so the din is that an adam trefa shaharag is pater, and the reason the Gemara says, the reason is because it's eno nitan lazama. Right? It's not something you can be mazim, since the trefa himself is, you can pater for, there's no chiyah for horiges trefas pater, so therefore there's no chiyah, so there's no, it's not nitan lazama, and therefore there's a ptur. Now, short trefa certainly is nitan lazama. If you have a short trefa, so then you would just pay the chiyah for the bialim is to pay. So short trefa is, that doesn't apply. It is nitan lazama. And nonetheless, says Ravashi, kamizah ba'am kasmi shor, short trefa shor putter. So the Tosas here say, note that this, you know, the reasoning of the din, you know, this is one thing to say that the reasoning of the, you know, if it's shaya, but here the whole tour is because of something which isn't true in the context of shor. So how could the din apply? So just to note, the Tosos in the context of Rashi says, that even this day a Ravashi agrees that there is a kimisbah in Kach Mishor, but Hasam Natam Shava Lishnehem, sorry, the other day that says otherwise, the other day that thinks that we don't apply the din of short trefa shahar, the day that holds short trefa shahar chayav, even though he agrees there is kimis ba'an kach mishor, but that's when hatam shav l'shnayim aval hacha ba'adam shayach liftor mitam edesh shitach l'zimo b'shor lo shayach d'im huzmo edim shalom d'mei shor trefa l'bayadam. This is a Tosfos on the Ninth Es. So there too, I believe the Rambam actually understood the din differently, although it's not obvious, because he actually quotes the tour based on in one place he quotes the tour of midin edesh shitach l'zimo. But one can understand Ravashi simply believes that the Hekesh can apply even where it doesn't make sense within that local din. So maybe something like this is what the Ramban would say here, something like this, that even though the grounds for the din Hadar, and really what it implies within the world of Esrog, seems to make it something which only makes sense within the world of Esrog, and not something which is applicable broadly to other Minim, nonetheless, the Torah puts it together. The Shem Torah aspect of it, I'm speaking of, right? The aspect of it which, within Esrog, is actually a defining feature of Esrog. Nonetheless, the Torah in Big Makish requires us to say something to Pasul in Elul of Sheino Hadar too. Now here, I think you could say this in one of two ways. One way to say it is that the Ramban will tell you, Elul of, which isn't Hadar for sure, is Elul of. Right? It's not that the Torah requires specifically the species lulav to be specific. I'm sorry, requires a class of eights which is actually a beautiful lulav. It's not that. It's a lulav either way. It's just that the Torah requires that the din, right, it passes the yavish, despite the fact that the reasoning for it doesn't really apply at all. Indeed, whereas with Esrog, it wasn't an Esrog, and that was the basis for the psul. In lulav, it passes even though it passes a lulav shein hadar, even though the reasoning there doesn't apply, but it's still lulav. The more radical way to say it is maybe the Ramban will say that in a chinami, we're forced, based on the Hekesh, to conclude that actually all the species that the Torah identifies here are to be understood as carrying with it another necessary attribute, that is, that they're muhuda, they are hadar. So that a lulav, she'eno hadar, even though it doesn't really make sense of lulav, because it's not an identifying characteristic feature of Eights of the Kapos Tamarim, but nonetheless, based on the Hekesh, we say that it's only a Kapos Tamarim Hadar. That's the class. It has to be a fruit from. It has to be a tree from that class, Kapos Tamarim Hadar, which you take, and such that if you were to take a lulav ayavish, it actually is bechal halachically not a lulav. What nafkamina? So maybe enough. What? Maybe shasad chak. I was going to say maybe shasad chak. That could be another nafkamina, but one that I actually mentioned.
Maybe it is.
What?
Maybe it is.
Maybe. No, well, here both of them are saying it's is that it applies. The Ramban is certainly applying it to explain both later days. Both of them would explain that, right? That you're posseling for all days, even though it's only things which aren't minim, so that applies nonetheless for lulav one way or the other, either because even though it's a lulav, it's possible, or maybe we're saying no, it's actually, even though it doesn't make sense internally, so to speak, but the Torah is saying it's not a lulav. Well, maybe not for me, about Tosef, yeah. Maybe
Dichle.
Maybe Dichle. But the one I just mentioned earlier, Baal Tosef, right? That, I'm not saying this is not true. I'm just saying that requires getting... whereas I sort of explained the context of Baal Tosef, right? That the Rishonim say that working with the Rav's understanding of Eitz Avos is something different than... It's a different min. It's not just that it's puzzle. It's actually not a hadas. Well, the Indian mitzvah lulav, that's what required for lulav is Eitz Avos. So taking taking hadas, which is in Avos, hadas shota, is given the shita regarding Baal Tosef, that violates Baal Tosef. So what would they say about a lulav hayavish? Right, so that would be enough kamina. According to the one view, they would say lulav hayavish, it's still lulav. The chiddush is, despite the fact that it's a lulav, it's still going to be pasul kol shiva. According to the other way of viewing it, even though what we're saying is, even though it really doesn't seem to make internal sense within the idea of what a lulav is and what an esrog is, but nonetheless, it's true, the Torah says that as far as the Torah is concerned, tapas tvarim, what qualifies the lulav for the Torah, is actually, it's only if it's mehudar, a lulav she'ino hadar is actually not a lulav, and therefore maybe would be over all this. I haven't seen the question raised, but it's one that one could raise. Okay. So that's Adkan, just the hashlama to the last topic. Okay, now, moving on. So the second approach that we find in Rishonim, the next one we're going to see, is based on Rashi. Rashi, here, cites... Did you have a question, by the way?
Like, why do we, like, let's say that there are green lulavim and yellow lulav. Mm-hmm. Then we have a hekesh between lulav and esrog. Mm-hmm. So we could say, you know, just like esrogim are yellow, so the lulav has to be yellow or something.
I think that's the last time, right? But esrogim, there's no such din that esrog. There's no such din. There's no such.
Yeah, but let's say, but why would such would such a hekesh be very strange? I mean, there's no.
Well, there's
din,
no requirement for esrog to be yellow. Let's say to grow from a tree. From a tree. Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Right. That's sort of similar to what I'm saying. I mean, it would just be nonsensical. There wouldn't be such a thing as an eitz which also grows from a tree, right? Because it's kapos tamarim, so... But the point is that it's a feature like that, which, you know, for it to grow from a tree is something which is unique to the fact that it's a pre. You wouldn't necessarily say... That's like saying it's a necessary attribute. It's part of the identifying feature of anything to belong to that species. It needs to be... you know, grown from a tree, it has to be botanically related. None of these things make it, even though these are attributes in a sense, you might say, but it's nonetheless something which is unique to the. So that was the question, right? Why is some? How can something which is has to do with the unique definition and identification for the Ramban of the species of esrog? How can that be something which is shayach? It's not that it's just unique. It's that it's just part of the identification of the species of the class. As opposed to a feature required of any member. It's not a din, the mitzvah's lulav, it's just what is it that the lulav, what is the mitzvah, what is it being commanded to take here? What kind of thing are we commanded to take? I was saying that isn't naturally given to a hekesh, and this is what we were dealing with. Yeah. All right, so the next approach is based on Rashi. Rashi here says in the Mishnah, Yavesh, the be'ina mitzvah mehuderes, dechsiv ve'ambeh. So what Rashi is referring to here is what is colloquially known as Hidr Mitzvah. This is from the Drasha and the Mechilta. The Drasha and the Mechilta is on the Pasuk, Zekeli v'Ambehu. Ambehu, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, V'chiyev shal l'basav adam, l'hanvos, l'kono. Is it possible to decorate their Baruch Shalom in a sense? To be mehadjah their Baruch Shalom? To beautify their Baruch Shalom? Of course not. Ela, inavelo b'mitzvah, inavelo b'mitzvos, aselofanav, luavna, use it luavna, sukkah, beautiful tzitzis, Tfilina. So that's what it means. Now, just taking this Mechilta, you could have said, okay, it's a drasha. It's not an actual chiyuv. It's not an actual din. After all, you have the next drasha. The Gemara, the Mechilta immediately cites after that Abba Shaul, who says it's mitzvah. It's part of what does it mean? Vaveya means to be similar to him. So it's just a matter of just what does this mean? But it's not an actual din. But the Gemara in Bavli, we find that it in fact is cited as being a din. Is this not in here? Gemara and Shabbos? I left out the most critical one. Yeah, so the first time we find this really most expansively is in the Gemara and Shabbos with regard to, Bavli is not here, with regard to the halacha of tzitzin she'en and ma'ach ben esamila.
What the?
Kuflam ha'gimomed aleph, or kuflam ha'gimomed beis? Which one is it?
I'm a
beis. That there's halacha that tzitzin She'inim nachman es hamila. So the Mishnah says that that if you have a tzitz and she'inim nach, I'm sorry, the Gemara explains the Mishnah saying that that. So it's a machlokes shana what exactly the case is, but that if you're in the middle of mitzvahs milah and you have yet to remove your hands, lo si let yado, so then you should be sure to remove not just the tzitz in the parts of the skin that are me'akev milah, but also even parts of the skin which actually don't undermine your, aren't required in order to be yotzei mitzvahs milah, in order to remove the shemarel. You should also remove them. If you're a Masalik, Yadav Moel removes his hand, so then you should not be chosen. Stam, Rashi, the tour, understand this to be referring to specifically Shabbos. But after Shabbos, if you're doing it Bechol, you certainly should, because of what the Gemara says, which I'll get to. The Rambam has a different understanding, not our issue for now. But the Gemara explains that the reason that you're required to remove tzitzin shein machbin is because it's more mehudar, and there's a, they call the drasha of mechelta, right? Zeh keli v'amveil. Yevachil lahader to be mehader mitzvos. So hider mitzvah requires this din of zeh keli v'amveil, requires that you remove these tzitzin even though they're not machbin. Okay. That's one case. You also have it mentioned, you have it invoked in the sugya in Sukkah, in Armas Efes, and Daf Yud Alvin Bezon, also it's cited parallel in our parak, that we have a focus Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda to Machosanam about whether or not you're required in order to be Yotzei Mitzvos Lulav, you're required to be Me'aged to bind them together, the Dalaminim. Rabbi Yehuda believes yes, because we derive from Aguda, from Lekicha, from context of Aguda Zezov in the context of Parshas Para. Paras mace, so you're the paraduma, so that you require it's required to be bound just like the agudas ezov of paraduma. That's what it means here too. So therefore, you're not yotzei. The rabbanan disagree; they don't darshan that, but they too agree. Says the gemara in Yud Alvin Biz that there is a mitzvah la'aged that one ought to. It's not ma'akim, but one ought to. And why should one be ma'aged? Midin. Mitzad mitzvahs, zekil v'amveyu, should be mahadir mitzvahs. It's cited in additional context in the Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Chaf and Aleph, where the Gemara cites the Brisa, the Gemara quotes a Brisa that says that, well, I'll tell you the context quickly. Rav Chisda says that what happens if I take a get and I write it shalol l'shem l'shma, shalol l'shem isha, or shalol l'shem krisus, and then I write over it, right? I write over it lishma. So this basically seems to be a question of simple reading of the Gemara here. It's just that this is a question of is ksav agabi ksav defined as ksiva because you need v'chasav lishma or not? Or you might say is ksiva lishma, is this defined as ksiva lishma? I'm not getting into the differences between these, but the Gemara says that this is something which we can take to be a machlokes Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, that from the Brisa of the Gemara cites there, regarding a Sefer Torah where you didn't write the askaros of the Sefer Torah lishma, right? The Gemara gives an example. It was the Shem Hashem should have been there, but I didn't realize that. I thought it was supposed to be Yehuda, and I forgot the Dalet. So there, in that case, you've written the name, but not l'shem Hashem. It's not lishma. So in that case, says the Brisa, we have machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim say it's pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says you can do that. Mavir love komos umikacho. The Chachamim ain't ashamed in mufkar. You don't do that. You can't do that. And the Gemara says, and this seems to be the machlokas. The same machlokas is machlokas. What of ksav agav ksav? Is it counted as ksav or does it work for lishma? Okay. The Gemara rejects it and says no. The reason for the Rabbanan is not that they believe that ksav agav ksav doesn't work to as ksav or as ksiv l'shma. Rather, the reason is it's a chisar mishum zekel v'amveyu. Right? It's not mehudar. All right. Now this din of hider mitzvah. So is this a din deraisa? Din Rabbanan. So here we have. It seems a machlokas yishonim. Now it seems it is. Yeah.
Wait. Hold on. So not writing to get the Shema is an issue.
No, so that's what the Gemara explains, that you cannot assume that this Machlokes Rabbanan and Reuda is relevant to get. The Rabbanan don't have a problem with Ksiva Lishma being considered Ksiva Lishma. They just think it's a Chisar and Mahudar, but there's no Hidar Mitzvah with regard to get. That's the assumption. It doesn't need to be written nicely, and therefore they would have no problem whatsoever with a get being with being Mavir of Komos Mikacho, or not Mikacho, Mavir of Komos Kosei Lishma in the context of get. The only reason they say you can't do that in Sefer Torah is because it's you need to be Zekele Bembe when it is.
Yeah. Is that because the ksav will be too thick, it'll be ugly, or because for whatever, like just fundamentally for whatever reason, writing on top of it, it'll
no. It's the assumption is it'll the result will be different. It will be different. It'll be ugly. It has to be because if there's no ink going into it, not changing at all. So then, there's going to be ink into it. That's otherwise it wouldn't be ksiva b'chal. But the assumption is that we'll see that. Oh, we'll come back to it. Yeah, the assumption is it'll make a difference in terms of how it looks. So the truth is, but that happens to emerge from the Gemara. When in theory could have said otherwise, like you're saying, maybe it's just not a nice way to write twice. In theory, but it just emerges from the Gemara. It sounds like it actually is an issue of just the look of the letter. Now this is din derasa derabanan. So the Ritva says that this is a din derabanan. Right here we have Machlokas, the Ritva and Sukkah Yud Aleph and Beis, in the context of, he's discussing just in the context of the requirement for the Rabbanan of an Eged Lulav. So he says that it must be that it says a Dinder Rabbanan. And the Ritva has a Raya, he has an argument for it. Why? He says because, he argues, there is no such thing as a Din D'Oraisa, which is only L'Chachila. If the Torah says that there's a certain Din, that's required, without which, right, and if you don't have that din, if you haven't been satisfied the din, so then it's ma'akev. The whole distinction, says the Ritva, between lechachila and b'di'evid only makes sense when you're dealing with the chiyuv derabanan. The chiyuv derabanan, so the Rabbanan said lechachila, you should do this, and it's not necessary. Every din the Torah mentions is necessary, is essential, without which you cannot, not just that you're required to do it, but without it, so whatever din the Torah is discussing, or whatever mitzvah the Torah is discussing, cannot, it's, you're not yotze without it. This is a general claim of the Ritva. The ha kol b'deoraisa lo shani le bein mechachila bein medieh. And therefore, it must be it's only derabanan. Because here, the requirement you see in all these in a couple of places explicitly, right? You see in the context of eged the rabanan. You see in the context of tzitzin she'in and ma'akunas emila. This is only required lechachila. If it were deoraisa, it couldn't just be required lechachila. It had to be required b'deeved too. And therefore, you see that it's a din derabanan. And yet, we see that there are others that disagree. The Chiddushei Anshei Sheim is explicit about this, and I cited him in Brachos Lamechesem Alaf and Dape Rif. So he just says explicitly, right, that you see, Machmir in a certain case, Mishum Deikar Hidar Mitzvah Deoraisa, He Dechsiv Zekele Vambeyu, Vederashinan Isna Lifanav Mitzvos. And the truth is that this is already clearly what emerges in the Ravid. The Ravid on the sugya in here it's in the Kasa Sham in sugya on sugya Zayin Amadalf in the Dapei Rif. So he basically he's dealing with a different issue. If Agida, which may not be Ma'akev actually in Para, how could it possibly be Ma'akev in the context of Eged Lulav? So everybody deals with this question in different ways. The Ravid understands this is that Rabbi Yehuda requires. The way that this works is that Yudah also requires it meets the Eged meets L'Chachila meets Zekele V'Yambeyu, and then you have an additional time the Torah says it should be Aguda Kicha, so then already it's Ma'akev. In other words, there's two ways in which the Torah demands that the Lulav be Me'uga, that you be Ma'agid Lulav. One is through Zekele V'Yambeyu, like the Rabbanan. And then for Rabbi Yehuda, it's also, you have the kicha from Paro, where it was Be'aguda L'Chachila, right, where it was, had to be Be'aguda, and therefore, that's the way that the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda derives, there was a requirement, which is posel b'di'eved, for Eged. So it just emerges from the Ravid, we'll come back to the interesting suggestion he has there, but just in terms of the question that we're dealing with now, which is this a chiyuv de Rabbanan de'oraisa? So it emerges from the Ravid, it's clearly de'oraisa. Right? Okay. Now, what is now? But what are these Rishonim? What is the Raivin? What is the Shashan Shem? What do they do with the fact that with the argument of the right with the Ritzva? How can it be? And he just says it's Derabanan. He explained it has to be Derabanan. So they can say, I think, one of two things. Maybe they challenge, the first thing they might say is maybe they challenge the idea that there's no such thing as a distinction between the Chachila and the Eved for Dinu Deraisa. Maybe that's not the case. Now, it's clear that isn't always the case, that it isn't necessarily the case. You find in Kachim, many halachos in Kachim are only the Chachila. It's not Ma'akev. Ma'akev is Kapara. What?
Shari Mitzvah.
Shari Mitzvah, Bila, right? There are many, there are a whole host of Mitzvah, of Dinim, that are not Ma'akev, and nonetheless, they're Din and Deraisa. Adki Dekat, that the Gemara says that it seems we have a general principle, sort of a rule of thumb, that in Kachim, unless you have some other reason to know, unless you have some other way to know, that you require Shana of Akasuv La'akev. Unless the Torah says it twice, we don't assume that it's Ma'akev. If it only says a requirement, it only issues a requirement once in the realm of Kachim, so we assume that is only required the Chachilu, but B'di'evit it is in Posel. So it's clear you can have such a thing. And the truth is, what do they do? And what do what does the Ritva do? So the truth is, I forgot to mention this, right? It's not just the Ritva who makes this claim about no L'chachilu B'di'evit Zeraisa. You also find it here and there in the Tosos. I mentioned one, Tosos Gin, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Dim Zeraisa, and Chiluk Bein L'chachilu B'di'evit. But the Tosos of Menachos, who also holds to this, so he actually mentions, addresses the sort of the elephant in the room. What do you mean? The whole realm of Halacha, in which we say that it's all the dinim deraisa, unless you are shana, unless shana lo v'kasuv, unless the Torah repeats the requirement, all of them are lechachila bavad. So it's clear from the Tosafos, and this is what you'd have to say. Okay, that's an exception. That's a special exception in the context of kachin. This isn't so, but the chol Torah kula, that's a unique exception. That's a yotzei min haklal. The klal is that there are no distinctions in lechachila v'yem. But maybe you might say, but maybe that isn't so. Maybe there isn't such. It's not that it's like its own parsha, its own bechol kula. This is not so. No, maybe it is so. Maybe even if you're not saying bechol kula, shana of a kasuv la'akev is necessary in order to be ma'akev, which it's hard to argue that it would be. But it's not a principle that you can't have it be. Some dinim are, some dinim aren't. This seems to be the Tosfos' opinion in Pesachim, for instance. Tosfos in Pesachim takes issue with this explicitly. Ve'inlit mo'a mi'ika midi demidiraisa l'chachila asur b'di'evet shari dikamila tuva debi'inam shishana kasuv. La'akev kigom kachim. He gives an example. Kachim is an example where you have it. That the Torah, we assume the Torah requires in kachim twice in order to be ma'akev. Even if in general we don't require it, but it's certainly not. It's certainly true that there could be a din l'chachila midaraisa. The truth is, there are a number of examples where you know, at least call into question what would Tosos and the Ritva, Tosos and Menachos and the Ritva respond to. Just an example, just Bilvad. I mean, there are a lot of them, but there's a mitzvah. I don't codify this. As far as I know, there's no zochah like. What are the pasukim uvasa al kohanim velashoftim asher yevem beyamim mehem? What is kohanim doing there? Mitzvah that on the basin there should be kohanim. It's a mitzvah, meaning that, and this is the way the Rambam is, right? Mitzvah, what does it mean? It means lechatchila. There should be a basin, that the kohanim should be on the basin. It's not ma'akiv. It's not ma'akiv the shem basin. It's not ma'akiv the mitzvah. The key mitzvah is min hashoftim. It's just a din lechatchila. So there are a number of different cases. Examples of this where it's a little bit surprising. You have to figure out what to do with according to this Ritva, according to these Tosfos.
Wait, where is that din about the Kohen in the
it's codified the halacha in, I forgot which where the Gemara is, but it's codified the halacha in the Rambam, I think in Perek Aleph in Hilchos. No, not in Perek Aleph, maybe Perek Beis or Gimel. One of the opening prakim of Hilchos Sanhedrin. I think it's in the Medrash Halacha, but I don't recall exactly where in the Gemara it is. That's one possibility for what does the Ravid, what do the Chiddush Hashem, what do they respond in terms of the Ritva's argument. I think the other one is more significant for us. It cuts to a fundamental question regarding Hiddur. Maybe they'll agree that there is no chiluk, like the Tosafos say, there's no chiluk between their L'chachilo versus the Dievet. If there's a din deraisa, then it's just, it has to be ma'akev. It's ma'akev. It's required. It's essential. It can't be done without it. And nonetheless, they disagree. What they think is that principle does not dictate that in the absence of hiddur mitzvah, so then you won't be mekayim mitzvah. And why? So the Ritva evidently understood that zek kili v'amdehu, what it introduces to us is a sort of a general principle dictating the internal parameters of every mitzvah for which it's relevant. Now, is it saying that in general, when there's a mitzvah for which this principle of shayach, right, if there's a mitzvah within which na'e, hadar, has a role, seems to have a place, so then you should know that the internal parameters of the mitzvah are such, generally speaking, it ought to be done, it's a superior mitzvah, kiyum mitzvah, right, let's say we're talking about mitzvah tzitzis, it's a superior kiyum mitzvah tzitzis if it's mehudar, right? Mitzvah tzitzis really requires lechadchila, ideally, mitzvah tzitzis mehudaris, a tzitzis talis mehudar, talis mehudaris. This is something which is, if you want to think of an analogy, is akin to the din mentioned in Sukkah Nemheim and Beis of Ate Shitim Omdim, that Kol HaMitzvos Ein Yotzimem Elek Derech De'Lasat. What that means is, it's a general principle, any mitzvah within which you have the involvement of some gidul, so it needs to be held, it needs to be used Derech De'Laso in order for you to be yotzi. So it's just clarifying internal. It's dictating the internal parameters of all these mitzvos within which the principle is relevant. It's always derech de'laso. So here, what we're saying is, whenever you're talking about something which is shayach to be lesnau, so then it's a mitzvah. That mitzvah really is ideally bit mehuda. No, it's not saying b'diavad level. It's not b'diavad. So this is the Ritva's point. Given that, so if it were true that it were deraisa, given that the Ritva holds that there's ein chiluk being deraisa derabanan, if this were deraisa, it would have to be that you can't, that you're not yotzi the mitzvah to this without it. It's only because it's just a din mitzvah, it's a din derabanan of tzitzis, that you can be yotzei tzitzis without it. Derabanan, you can have lechachilos, you can have b'dievets, but the point is that you can't have lechachilos, something, a din which is only lechachilos when it comes to deraisas, and here the fact that you can be yotzei mitzvah without it means that it's only lechachilos. But one could argue otherwise. One could argue that it's not a din which reveals the internal parameters of a variety of mitzvahs. It's rather a separate mitzvah. There's a separate, independent obligation based on Zeh Keli Ve'Amveyu, and one might understand this as being something which is rooted in some other mitzvah, let's say Abba, for instance, Abba Shem, that one needs to be Mehadar B'Mitzvahs, that when you do mitzvahs in general, so then there's a mitzvah, there's the mitzvah that you're talking about, but then there's also another mitzvah to perform the mitzvah Be'Ofen Mehudar. Right? If you say this, right? In other words, what we're saying then is that mitzvah tefillin, mitzvah lulav, mitzvah tzitzis, so these require tzitzis, tefillin, and lulav. There's a separate mitzvah to do these be'ofen and with objects that are mehudar. If that's the case, if that's how we view it, that it's the din hinder mitzvah is a separate, independent kiyum, right? So then it isn't something that, so then even if it were, let's say, deraisa, and you accept the principle that any deraisa has to be ma'akev, so what will we say? In this case, it is ma'akev. It's ma'akev, it's kiyum. The kiyum that was relevant is the kiyum mitzvah, zekeh v'anveyu. It's not a din of tzitzis. It's not a chiyum mitzah tzitzis. And therefore, of course, it's not going to be ma'akev mitzvah tzitzis. Right? In other words, the simple response to the question, who says that it should be, why should it be ma'akev mitzvah tzitzis? It's not a din b'mitzvah tzitzis. It's a din b'mitzvah zekeh v'anveyu. It's now it's the fun of a mitzvah. Right? So if you take it as a separate, independent obligation, a general obligation, how must one perform mitzvahs? Be'ofen mehudar. So then it's being ma'akev, won't at all undermine being yotzei the mitzvahs, because it's not a din in those mitzvahs. Mashmal Ardavadome, the Ramban has a separate mitzvah as one of his taryag, whereas the Rambam takes lo'avdabacholavavchem to be the mitzvah of tila, the Ramban thinks it is a mitzvah, lo'avdabacholavavchem, but what he says it refers to is how you do mitzvos, bechavana ritzuya v'shleima, you should do it in a way which is appropriate, b'simcha ba'ava, right? The Ramban thinks this is a separate mitzvah. So that if one were to, just the pasha of the Ramban is that if one were to do a mitzvah, you know, without the slavos, let's say, so then it wouldn't detract necessarily from your mitzvahs, I don't know, tzitzis, but you would not be mekayim mitzvahs, u'avdah b'chol avavchem. So the mitzvah is, for all your, whenever you're doing the avodah, namely the mitzvos, so it should be b'chol avavchem. So in that case, if it isn't b'chol avavchem, so that's not going to be ma'akev, the mitzvah that you're talking about. It just won't be a kiyum mitzvahs, u'avdah b'chol avavchem. So something similar we were saying here. There's a mitzvah, Lesnaus Lefanov B'mitzvos. That's a separate, independent mitzvah. It doesn't issue forth. It's not related. It's not really a part of each individual mitzvah that we're talking about. It's not like Atzishit Demondim. Now, this is a crucial question regarding Hiddur Mitzvah. It has implications regarding other crucial questions regarding Hiddur Mitzvah. For instance, whether or not, in terms of just the scope, when one can be Mahadir Mitzvah, is it something which is only relevant to the Shah, to the time at which one is being Mekayim the Mitzvah, then there's the option, the ability to be Mahadir Mitzvah, and the Chiyuv, therefore, to be Mahadir Mitzvah. Or no, even maybe when there's no longer any Kiyum Mitzvah, but there still could be Hiddur Mitzvah. If what we're saying is being a Kayim Mitzvah, Behidura is an element of that Mitzvah, of Mitzvah Sitzis, let's say, or Mitzvah Mila, let's say, so then it's likely, we would say, this is limited then to a certain time, to the time of Kiyum Mitzvah. That's an issue which comes up, sorry?
The whole concept, that's the Sata Devercha L'Shiurim, what's called either, what does it mean, you'll say, if I spend this much, I do this much, how much?
Yeah, all right, so, but Kach Yimidas Chum is the, in the sense of the Gemara and Ksubos, that you know Memsa is all of a sudden dealing with a Kasher Mikvah, and then you know one little you know tiny drop less, and it's not a Kasher Mikvah. Yeah, that's Kachi Midas Torah. But you're asking more just what is the definition? So that's clearly something which is what some Rishonim say. Masun Kasel Chachamim. I mean, Torah doesn't say. Well, we'll get to that a little bit. But the point is that. That this is one way you can answer the question of that these Rishonim might understand, might respond to the Ritva, even if it's true that there's no chiluk din chachila b'di'eved on din mitzvahs deraisa, dinim deraisa, but this isn't a mitzvah of tzitzis. It's not a din b'mitzvah tzitzis. It's just a din of kiyum of hiddur, and therefore there's not going to be any. Its chisaron will be ma'akev the kiyum of the mitzvah that we're dealing with, namely mitzvahs. His knowledge of a mitzvah won't be mehakev mitzvah sitzis. All right, so that's just in terms of the background. Another question you want to look into is the ability for hiddur mitzvah to be docha shabbos. All right, both of those issues, the question of whether or not the timing of the hiddur has to be b'shas kima mitzvah, or can be even when the mitzvah is no longer relevant to the kima mitzvah is already done, and the question of the kiyum shabbos, both those have to be analyzed within the sugya on shabbos, kuflam and gimel, in the context of about what we're talking about when we say that eino chozer and chozer. So just what do we say then about, so coming back now to the din of lulav yavish. So the Rashi mentions ve'amvedi, that this is the basis for the soul of lulav yavish. And the way that Tosfos understand him is that Rashi's saying, kipshuto, ve'amvedi is an independent basis for psul yavish. Nothing whatsoever to do with padr dekra. Right, that it's not at all based on pre-Eitz Hadar, nothing, it's not relevant to Klal, it's simply based on Ve'amvehu. And Tosfos rejects Rashi's view with two questions that are quite distinct. One is, he says, what happened to the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer was that it has to do, it's based on Hadar Dekra, based on pre-Eitz Hadar and Hegesh Lulav. So first of all, Rashi, it's unnecessary what you're saying. It's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it's based on Hadar. Second, Tosfos say, they reject the suitability of the Rashi's alternative basis. They say that it wouldn't explain, in fact, the din of lulav yavish, because hiddur mitzvah, says Tosfos, is never ma'akev. Hiddur mitzvah is only l'chadchila. And they cite as an example, eged lulav, truth is they could easily cite as well, tzitzit she'enan ma'akev samila. Right? These are, the din of hiddur is something which is required as a l'chadchila, whether or not, and we discuss how we understand that, but it's not a din which passes the mitzvah b'di'evid. And here we're talking about a psul b'di'evid. And therefore, it can't be that it's based on what you're saying, Rashi, v'amvei. That's what the Tosfos say. The Meiri accepts the understanding of Rashi that what we're talking about, that what Rashi's saying is that it's based entirely, psul yavish is based entirely on din hiddur mitzvah zekele v'amvei, nothing, completely rejecting any relevance, credence, giving no credence whatsoever to Hadar Dekra as a basis or the basis for Psul Yavish. It's simply Psul Midin Vabeyu. And he responds to the Tosfos. So as far as the first question is concerned, namely what happened to the Gemara's explanation, Hadar Dekra, so this is where the Meiri says what we said last time, namely the Meiri accepts the Ramban and rejects the Ramban, meaning, I'm sorry, he accepts the Ramban's point about what Hadar means, and on the basis of that, comes to the conclusion that we said seems to be mitbakesh, seems to be compelling, that it doesn't make sense to say that there's a hekesh hadar esor lulav. There's a hekesh lulav esor regarding hadar, because hadar is a quality, an internal defining quality and characteristic of the class of what it is, what it means to be an esrog. So it's not something which is shayach to as a hekesh, just like you need your esrog to be. There's no just like you need your esrog to be hadar. It's just you need it to be an esrog. That's not relevant to lulav. And the Miri felt that this is so compelling that it sounds like he just, on the basis of that, really did find a sort of a Pesach, any Pesach he could in the Gemara to explain what happened to what the Gemara says. So he explains, and this is what we said last time, that he feels that when the Gemara rejects the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, that it's, because the Gemara in that, when it mentions the Hekesh Lulav Esrog, is saying that this is what there's a Machlokas about. The Rabbi Yehuda, who believes Lulav Yavesh is Kasher, so he rejects the Hekesh Esrog Lulav, and the Rabbanan accept the Hekesh Esrog Lulav regarding Hadar. The Gemara then concludes that isn't what Rabbi Yehuda argues about, because he also is Mafshir Esrog Yavesh. Rabbi Yehuda simply didn't interpret Hadar to mean beautiful, or at least not in any sense of which would be ma'akev for anything. That's why he's ma'akshir lulav yavish. So the Miri says, when the Gemara says that, when a Gemara in the end says that isn't the explanation, it's not that they're arguing about hekesh lulav esrog, so he thinks that now we're not beholden anymore. In fact, we're relinquishing that explanation of Shitas Rabbanan. It isn't, in fact, based on hekesh lulav esrog. That was Rava's sort of suggestion, just trying to figure out. But in the end, the Gemara says that they're not arguing about the Hekesh Lulav Esrog. So the Miri says, once it says that, so then in fact it's rejecting the entire, not only Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, in fact that's really not even the basis of Rabbanan. Rabbanan is something else. What is it, says the Miri? It's Zekhev Mabeya. This isn't what the Miri says. So that's as far as the question of what happened to what the Gemara says. And what about the issue, but it's not an adequate solution. Hidur Mitzvah is not Ma'akim. So here the Miri responds, and so does the Ashlama on this question, on this point, that isn't so, that Hidur can be Ma'akiv, right? In other words, Hidur Mitzvah, says Miri, it's true that some cases it isn't Ma'akiv, but in some cases it could be. And for the Miri, the way he explained it, it depends on the extent of the lack of Hidur, right? If it's just it's not quite as Mahudur as we'd like it to be, so it's a small deviation from Hadar. So that's something which won't possible. That's only a din of achila. But if it's really a chisaron gamor of hidur, so then, says the Miri, then it can. There's different midos of hidur. You can be the whole spectrum. And depending on where you are, it could be that it'll be ma'akev, but it might not be ma'akev. That this is so, that hidur can be ma'akev, already there's, I think, strongly compelling evidence for this in the Gemara itself. In the third case that I mentioned of hidur mitzvah, of ve'am ve'yu, which is the Gemara in Gittin, regarding the din of Sefer Torah of Mavir Lov Komos. Because it's that machlok was Rabban Yehuda in the Braisa there, of whether or not Mavir Lov Komos and Mekadsho. So is that the Rabban, when they say there that, no, you can't do that, Ein Hashem Min HaMufkar, are they saying that it's possible, or are they saying you shouldn't do it? So it's clear from the Gemara that at least initially, the Gemara's understanding of this was that the Shitas Rabbanan there is that it's puzzle b'dievet even, right? It's not just that you shouldn't do it; it's that it doesn't work. Varaya, they were saying that's the explanation. That's the same Shita that puzzles the get in the case of Tzav, Kasav Mavir Lo Komos, because of the Shema. Right, the Shita that says that's no good. The Ksiv L'Shema there is not Ksiv L'Shema; it's Batal not Ksiv L'Shema. So it's not because of law. That's the same shita as the Rabbanan, who what? I guess pasul b'dievet even the Sefer Torah. Now when the Gemara says that no, it's midin zekhev v'amveyu, pashas l'chora is that it's not that this explanation involves now a different interpretation of what the din in the Mishnah actually what they're passing. The chora is the same sak, namely that it's a psul b'dievet. It's just a different explanation, which is that it's based on zekhev v'amveyu, not based on self agabizam. So you see, L'chora, that this is the case. Now, it happens to be Rabbi Kiva Eger explicitly in his Shuvas, I think I part by the Mar Malkum, Simon in Shuvas, Rabbi Giver Kama, Simon Ayin, he takes that actually to be a machlokas between these two Lishnos. On the question of whether or not it's puzzle even b'dieved, so he says it depends on how we paskin, what is the reasoning for the Rabbanon? Is it based on on Ksava Gavik Sav being problematic, it's not being Sav, or is it based on Zekeli Vamveyu? If it's based on Zekeli Vamveyu, he says, so Zekeli Vamveyu isn't Makiv. But that's not at all obvious, and the truth is, and I guess we'll conclude for now, the truth is that it's doubly questionable, or not questionable, but it's not obvious, given that the Gemara, the Sugya in Gittin Nundalat Mabez, the Sugya in Gittin Nundalat Mabez says basically that even Rabbi Yehuda will agree if all of the Askaros were written Shalal Lishma, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree in that case that you cannot be Ma'avir Lav Komos Mekacho. Why? Because Mechzi Kiminumar, right? It looks speckled, spotted. It'll look wrong. It'll look complete. The whole Torah is going to be written in that case Kiminumar. It'll be just be speckled, right? It just doesn't. Now, what is that chisaron l'chora? Where do you get that you can't, and why can't that be l'chora? The same reason the Rabbanan, the Gemara is explaining the Rabbanan, namely, right, that it's a problem of Zekeli Vamveyu, right? Both because what else would be the problem? And, I mean, it is Ksav, it's just Minumar. And also because that works perfectly well with what the Gemara says is the basis for Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda, it's saying, disagrees in the case where it's just one or two. It's machlokas, poskim about how many. But at the very least, if all of them are like that, and you have to go over all the Shemos now and all the whole Sefer Torah, for sure then Rabbi Yehuda will agree. It's a problem of Messi Kaminumar. And as far as Messi Kaminumar is concerned, so all the Shitos that we have on this question hold that this is a Psul B'dievet, if it's Minumar, or if it's Messi Kaminumar. This is the Rishonim discuss it. Think it's a Dover Pashut. The Gemara itself sounds like it says puzzle, right? If I'm not mistaken, Gemara itself in Nidana Beis says Shakol Sefer Torah Ainas Karshalo B'Ksuva Slishman Ainu Shaveklu. It's actually talking about it's actually worthless. Halacha, it's worthless. Why? Because it's puzzle. So the Chora is a Dover Pashut. This is again the Rivash says this. The Tash Beitz I think says this, and the Shach Pasin Salacha. That Mepsikim Minumar is. For short, a psul b'dievet. And again, the yesod seems to be that it's a problem of Zekeli Vamveyu. If that's the case, you see that indeed it can be Ma'akiv. So we'll pick up with this, I guess, next Kabura. The question we'll just quickly now, how do we understand that a din can be both Lechachila and b'dievet? Or either work? What is that? How do we understand that? A. And then different understandings of Rashi, how Rashi might respond to the question of the Tosos. And that'll wrap up the issue of just the second approach, Din Vavei. Okay?